I was 27 when I went to Ellis Island and saw Joseph and Anna's name on the wall. Mm. The plaque is there. And I rubbed my hand across it and I looked out at the water. Mm. And I, for the first time, understood that two teenagers got in the bottom of a boat on the other side of the world,
yeah,
fleeing the Russian Revolution. They came to a new country where my grandmother never learned to speak English, never learned to write or read in either language, signed her name with an X. And my grandfather was a short order cook at a diner for his entire life and raised 10 kids. And their grandson was published in the language of the country they came to.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm never going to slack again, because yeah, their courage built the road I walk on.
Yeah. So
that still motivates me today.
Welcome to Life Off Screen with Dan and Peggy Ruppel. Thank you for joining us. If you're enjoying this podcast, do us a favor and subscribe to the show and give us a rating. Life Off Screen is produced by Master Media International. And to find out more about Master Media or the Life Off Screen podcast, visit us at lifeoffscreen.com. And now, here's Dan and Peggy.
Hello, and welcome to Life Off Screen. Today, we continue our conversation with Todd Komenicki, producer, writer. You probably know him from Elf, wonderful film, as well as the great Tom Hanks film, Sully.
Yes, and joining him is his wife, Jane Bradbury, and they live in New York City, but today they're going to be coming to us live from their garage in a rented home in Santa Monica.
So I hope you enjoy part two of our conversation with Todd and Jane. You mentioned Embrace for Impact.
And this is Embrace for Impact.
Mm-hmm. Okay, embrace there you for go. Impact.
I like right. that kind of better.
Yeah.
But Peggy and I watched Sully last night for probably the fifth or sixth time.
Homage to you.
No, seriously. We love that.
Six.
Oh, yes.
Oh, at least.
We love
that
it.
Movie.
Wow. More and, so and than Elf.
More so than Elf.
We were on Elf or Sully. How many more times?
We kept pausing it. I'd look at Peg and go, oh, that line was beautiful. What a great line. So
we said not a wasted word.
Yeah.
Not a wasted word.
My first question for you, Todd, when you found out that Clint Eastwood and Tom Hanks, I mean, two of the faces on the cinema Mount Rushmore, are attached to your project. How long did you do the giddy dance?
Well, I waited for Jane to come home. She was out all day that afternoon when it got officially announced. And I spoke to Jonathan Coleman, who runs Guy Walks Into a Bar, my production company. And we just sobbed over the phone together first. So, and I was like, oh, I don't want to run out of tears for Jane. And then when I told Jane, this is classic Jane. So I told Jane, we were in the kitchen, we danced, we hugged, we sobbed. She made this noise of just release and joy and gratitude. And we were in total bliss. And about 90 seconds after that, she said, do you think Clint Eastwood's going to die before he can actually make the movie?
That's a half glass half empty.
But of course, Clint has gone on to make three or four movies since then, so he's fine.
He's fine.
Is that like a surreal experience though, when you are sitting there and here is?
Well, Tom Hanks is saying your words, directed by Clint Eastwood, and then Tom Hanks is saying the words you wrote that a real guy, Sully, didn't really say.
But has to be the essence of what he said.
But yeah.
Surreal.
Was that surreal?
You know, it's surreal for a minute. The beautiful thing is those guys are so gracious. And so the feeling when you meet them or the first time you talk to them or whatever, the fan part of it, it dissipates very quickly into colleague. And they treat you like, of course, you deserve to sit at this table. So that's really lovely. And they were very deferential. Clint shoots the script. He didn't change a word.
I know.
Tom loves writing, and he is a writer as well, and understood what was on the page. So they're just brilliant to work with. I've had the great good fortune to work again with Clint on a project that didn't go forward, but got to work with him a second time, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And we're doing now two more things with Tom. So I'm continually pinching myself. You can ask Jane. Like every time I get a really fun email from Tom, I'm like, It's my friend Tom. I mean, it still feels a little, I feel a little giddy about it just because I have such massive respect for him. Yes. Within the pantheon, he truly is one of the five or six greatest at this art form ever. Mm-hmm. And we get to work together. So it's very humbling and joy making.
And it's such high praise from both of those gentlemen that they chose to not alter your word. I mean, that is really sometimes you get those moments where you go, that affirmation of the word and that confirmation that you're, you're moving in your calling.
Yeah, it ain't me. I've been in the room when the words went on the page. But that ain't me, sister. That ain't me.
Yeah. Well, on that note, what role does the Holy Spirit or prayer play as you approach a project and you're sitting down to write?
All the time, every day, all day, every moment, every second, every gratitude before, gratitude after. Inspiration in the morning, inspiration at the night.
That's right. Pray without ceasing. That's it. Yeah. When I was a kid, I heard that. I was like, I don't think so. And now that's all I do. I've been praying during this interview. I'm not kidding. I'm constantly praying. So what I think about the answer to the specific thing about writing is that it's steeped in prayer. I pray start to finish all the way through it. Absolutely all the time. But it also has attuned me. Not that I get things right on the first draft. I need 30 drafts, but it's attuned me to what really clanks. So as I'm writing, I feel like, okay, well, that's an F sharp and that doesn't belong in here. And that tuning fork has become a lot more clear. And I give all the credit to God. He's just letting me in on things that I didn't used to be able to understand. And the beautiful thing about being a writer is that you get better, you have a chance to get better as you get older. As opposed to sports is such a short window. And so I feel like really at 55, I've had this one job for 33 years. And I feel like I'm kind of at the letter D, maybe small D right now. Mm-hmm. So knowing that I've got hopefully another 20 or 30 years to keep climbing up the alphabet. If I can get to L before I take it.
Okay. You've been married a while. Suddenly your daughter comes along and then a son following that. How did that just wreck your world? Wreck you for good.
Jane, you go first. You had the babies inside of you and altered your world first.
Well, I was horribly morning sick for both kids. Like
hospitalized sick.
Yeah. Like just every day, all day. I had to take two anti-nausea different medications.
At the same time.
So I was really either vomiting or really out of it because it's an antihistamine, which makes you tired. So the pregnancies were really challenging. But when I gave birth, it was so amazing. And I was blessed with an incredible birth. And I hired a doula, which is a birth support person, like a non-medical midwife. Mm-hmm. And I got totally hooked on the experience and just, I decided to become a doula myself.
It charted a course for you.
Yes, totally. In a moment. It was just, I had no interest before. And then all of a sudden I was at loads of births and seeing life come and the mystery in them, just it's each moment it's just a miracle. You're like blown up by like you swallow a million light bulbs. And that was an incredible detour in my life. I didn't expect that God happened to, you know, did this like 360 career and then had this new career. Unfortunately, there's a lot of really, really long hours and you could be on call for days. So it ended up I had to cut back professionally because I was too tired.
Yes.
And Todd, he's just so, you know, he's so high maintenance, you know, to between him and the kids.
You have three babies, really, right?
Yeah, you have three.
and myself, the four of us.
She's self-doulas.
Yeah, so it was an amazing, and I actually volunteered a lot for single mothers and young teenagers, and it was just really, it's just really, if anyone that's been there at a birth, it's really
like you had. I loved the birth. I just loved it. It's magical. And got to be at a number of them. And my sister has delivered a lot of babies on the mission field, although they usually were all, the witch doctors. And if the witch doctors didn't do it, or the midwife, they would go get the missionary. So she delivered them under the worst circumstances. But she's got miracle story after miracle story of...
She
just had someone come teach her midwifery because of in the Indian villages of Mexico, they're kind of the class system. So they just don't have the medical access. Their traditions really had the midwives were passed down and they didn't do things right. Mm-hmm. So a lot of, difficult labor. Risky. Yeah. So she delivered under the worst of conditions. But there's a lot of little girls named Denise running around in Chol Indian villages.
In the villages. I don't know if you guys ever watched it, but Peggy and I love watching Finding Your Roots on PBS. They take two celebrities and they go back on their family tree and their heritage as far as they can go. Sometimes they go like to the early 1700s. I mean, it's really fascinating. Yeah. And you guys, I mean, you have such deep European roots. Jane, your family's from Ireland, and you're, I guess, what, first generation of your family to come to America.
Yeah.
Todd, your family immigrated from Ukraine.
Is that right?
Or they go back, two generations?
No. My grandfather, Joseph, and grandmother, Anna, came from Ukraine to Ellis Island.
Yeah.
Wow.
How does that, knowing that heritage, enrich your kids' lives?
Oh, that's really interesting. Right now, because we spend so much time in Ireland, every summer in Ireland until last year from the pandemic.
Wow.
Remy has really embraced her Irish side, and she loves it, and she loves talking about it, very much claims it. Mm. Dashiell is a little bit more stubborn about it, and he pretends to embrace the Ukrainian side, although we've never been to Ukraine. We don't speak Ukrainian. We don't cook Ukrainian. nothing's really being passed on, but I think just because he likes to give his mom a hard time, he's I'm Ukrainian. Yeah. But we try to definitely involve the love of the culture and respect for Ireland and what it's meant to our family and how much time we spent there. So I think it's generationally going to be passed on in a good way. The Ukraine thing was, with first generation children of immigrants, my dad was one of 10. All of them were desperate to speak no Ukrainian at all. They just wanted to assimilate. So my dad, all his siblings, nobody learned Ukrainian, and there was nothing. I mean, halupshi. My dad knew he knew how to tell my mom how to make halupshi. And that was about it. Pierogies and halupshi. There's no connection. And Komernicki, the last name, my grandfather was Joseph Komernicki from the village of Komernicki, which is a tiny village in southern Ukraine in the middle of absolutely nowhere. My cousin Kirk actually went there about 8 years ago.
Wow.
And he was celebrated in the one building that they have. I mean, there's just nobody there. What they left was nothing. And Ukraine has been in tumult for many years now. So it's not been super inviting to run over there with the kids and dig in and not having the language. Yeah. But I think in the ensuing years, hopefully in the next 5 to 10 years, getting over there and seeing where it all started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I know that, in fact, it was, I think, the day after we had lunch with you, Todd, last trip to New York, Peggy and I went for the first time to Ellis Island. And I looked up my great, great grandfather, Ignaz Ruppel. And he came over, he came over from Fulda, Germany in 1861, which is the flashpoint of when the Civil War started.
And to show up.
I want to know the story because I don't know it, but somehow in the midst of the Civil War, he made his way, along with other villagers from Fulda, Germany, from Ellis Island over to the farmlands of Ohio. And he's cutting right through to Gettysburg. And I don't know how they did it. But you were saying your name is a village or town in the Ukraine. What they did is they set up Fulda, Ohio, modeled after Fulda, Germany. And then more generations followed. And I've been back there. I've seen the farm. I've seen the little Catholic church they set built and his gravestone behind it. But wow. When we were at Ellis Island, it was almost like it was very emotional. Mm-hmm. It was seeing his name there on the manifesto of the ship. Mm-hmm. And it was it really a spiritual experience. It just kind of like spiritually tied me to Germany and my ancestors.
Story. It's the power of story.
Yeah, it's the power of story.
Your story.
To me, it's helped me stay motivated because writing takes a lot of effort. I'll never forget, I was 27 when I went to Ellis Island and saw Joseph and Anna's name on the wall. Mm. Black is there. And I rubbed my hand across it. And I looked out at the water. Mm. And I, for the first time, understood that two teenagers got in the bottom of a boat on the other side of the world, fleeing the Russian Revolution. They came to a new country where my grandmother never learned to speak English, never learned to write or read in either language, signed her name with an X. And my grandfather was a short order cook at a diner for his entire life and raised 10 kids. And their grandson was published in the language of the country they came to.
Wow. Ah.
And I was I'm never going to slack again because their courage built the road I walk on.
Yeah. So
that still motivates me today.
Todd, I know whenever you, in fact, I've heard you say this at conferences or on podcasts or show like this, we're always asked how you integrate your faith into your craft, into your work.
Like it's too separate.
And I think your answer is so great, and I couldn't agree with it more. Share what I'm referring to on the integration of your faith in your work.
Yeah, I mean, my faith in Christ is everything to me, so everything has to integrate into that. There's no me trying to slide in moments, whatever. I am who I am. My life is hid with Christ. I was spectacularly saved by Jesus. That's everything to me. It informs absolutely every breath. Thank God he's a forgiving God, because I doesn't mean I have a perfectly on tune life, but I know where I want to be at all times. I want to be with him, in relationship with him, in his arms, guided by him. So everything else has to find a way to integrate into that. And work is just the thing you're doing while you're working. You know, I'm raising my kids at the same time. I'm in a marriage at the same time. I'm building a business at the same time. So bringing that same Jesus as the center of whatever that thing is my goal all day. So that's, I don't think you need the word integration, because there becomes a oneness to what being alive is.
Yes. Also, as a creative artist, you know, Todd's mom, she used to say, Todd, you write so dark. Why are you writing so despairing? And the thing is, I think as an artist, you do have to tell that character story. So it's, you know, it's maybe not necessarily Todd's story. It's not Todd's story, but he, to be a truthful storyteller, he has to highlight, you know, situations that he necessarily wouldn't live in, or
that's right,
you know, react that way. And I think unless you're, as an artist, you're willing to go to that place to, and if that's okay with you, you should go there. But if it doesn't, well, then I think you should choose a different project or a different story.
Well said.
Because I think some people think, well, how can you do something so dark if you're Christian?
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you're shining light on the darkness. You're saying this is really dark, and you're making people aware that this is really dark, and people shy away from it. So I think it's important to differentiate as an artist.
Totally agree.
And who better to explore the darkness than the children of the light?
Well, I certainly know that I chose dark for a long time, and I know what it looks like.
In 2008, the Biola Media Conference, I was a co-director, and we brought you out to speak at CBS Studio Center.
I remember.
You remember. It was just a wonderful time. Yes. And because we have a lot of industry professionals, but a lot of students were there as well. And you said something that was so moving. You said, everything else is just a shadow compared to knowing Christ. And I can remember, I don't know if you remember, but there was an audible sigh. Because it was such a beautiful moment to end the day with, because here we are, iron sharpening iron, trying to, you know, a lot about craft, a lot about writing, a lot about different things. But that said it all, that's really the truth. You know, everything is a shadow except in the light of compared to knowing Christ.
Yeah. And 13 years later, I triple down on that.
Triple down.
That's it. Yeah.
And imagine you have a lot of either students or people who are new in the industry, or they're just saying, how do I get in front of somebody or get this script made? Or what is your go-to?
Well, my go-to is to quote Steve Martin, because Charlie Rose asked him many years ago in an interview, what's your advice for how to make it in Hollywood? And he said, everyone's always saying, do you go to New York? Do you go to LA?
Yeah.
You know, who do you know? What do you? And Steve Martin said, you stay exactly where you are. You get so good at what you do, and they will come find you.
Good.
And never has it been more true in this pandemic world, in this Zoom world, where all you have to do is sit down and be good at what you do, and they will find you. And certainly if you're following Jesus and this is his path for you in life, it's not going to happen by magic wand. It's going to happen by gritting it out and working like a dog in the direction of the good works that he's already laid out for you. But you have to do the works. You got to do it.
Yeah. And I think so many people are looking for talent and books and stories. Yeah. You know, it's not like you're like hidden away somewhere in, you know, the 40s. You know, it's like people have anticles out to try to find you so they can make your story. So
they're perusing the internet looking for.
Especially now during COVID, we're consuming so much content.
Yeah, it's not like it used to be three networks and just
six studios.
Now we have, I mean, just the whole
we've already set up an adaptation. Changed. We've already set up an adaptation of this interview at Hulu.
You sold the rights.
You just sold the rights.
Dane is starring.
Yeah.
Kid, Tom Hanks play me.
Yes.
I do want to ask one last question. If you could have written any classic film, what would you wish you had written?
It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, my favorite film.
Yeah, mine too.
Wow.
Jane, what about you? What's your favorite film of all time?
The Notebook.
Did you know she was going to say that, Todd?
I knew he was going to say that.
Yeah, we know.
I thought he was going to say The Notebook.
Yeah.
It's so moving.
Bless you guys. Thank you
for calling us up to ask us. And
our pleasure.
For doing this and for having this chit chat.
Yeah, it was awesome, guys.
Well, we're just praying that God will wrap his arms around your family with goodness kindness and love and grace. And that God would just use who you are, your marriage, your family, your craft, everywhere he takes you for his glory, for his kingdom.
So. Amen.
Blessings to you. Bless we love you so much.
We boomerang that right back to you guys.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good evening.
Peace out.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you again. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for Life Off Screen with Dan and Peggy Ruppel. Life Off Screen is produced by Master Media International. Our technical director is Jason Rugg. Please subscribe to the Life Off Screen YouTube channel or subscribe to the Life Off Screen podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. You can leave your comments in the comment section. And to find out more about Master Media, go to mastermedia.com. Thanks again for joining us. Hope to see you next time.